Joining us now, Sarah Parshall Perry, who's a senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation, to talk about Supreme Court case, and it's not Roe v. Wade. Sarah, welcome in. Thanks for being back with me.
Hey, I'm glad to be able to talk to you today, and you're right. I think it was swallowed up by a lot of the news cycle on the Dobbs leak lately, but this is indeed a different case.
Well, this is an interesting case here. I kind of break it down in layman's terms for me, because a lot of times legal speak, it's, wait, does that mean yes or no in the way that's phrased there, or does it mean no means yes, you know? So we're talking about the Supreme Court making a ruling that no damages for emotional distress in civil rights case here. So what's the case here? Why the Supreme Court weighing in on this?
So this case came to the Supreme Court after a woman who she has a visual impairment, she's legally blind, and she has an audio impairment, had asked for a sign language interpreter when she went to get physical therapy services. And the physical therapy clinic said, listen, we can't give you that, but we can give you these alternate accommodations. She left, went to a different clinic, received what she thought was substandard care, came back, made a second request. When they turned her down, she sued them for emotional distress. And the two civil rights laws that she invoked were the Rehabilitation Act of 1973 and Section 1557 of the Affordable Care Act, otherwise known as Obamacare. Mm-hmm. So these two both prohibit discrimination on the basis of disability, but she hadn't claimed that she lost anything monetarily, what are called compensatory damages. And the damages weren't what are called punitive. In other words, simply to punish someone. It was only what she perceived to be the emotional distress at having been offered alternative accommodations. This is good news for a couple of different reasons. First of all, the court said we're not going to read into the statute anything that's not already there. And one of the things that wasn't there was specificity about emotional distress damages. Mm-hmm. They also said explicitly, listen, if this operates as a contract, if the federal government gives a clinic like this PT clinic federal money and says you can have it, but you can't discriminate, then on the basis of that contract, how in the world would that clinic have known that they would have been liable for someone's emotional distress? So on the basis of that contract principle and the fact that it couldn't possibly be foreseen, mm-hmm. the Supreme Court said, we're not going to give emotional damages where it's clear none were anticipated.
All right. Is this based on the fact that the legal look at this says it's a technical issue that we're not going to consider emotional distress, or is it all on the burden of the patient or the plaintiff in this case to define emotional distress and prove that?
Well, they said that emotional distress damages can be recovered, just not for these two statutes. In other words, gotcha. In a lot of these civil rights cases, there are other damages available. You can sue for what you've lost in terms of monetary harm. You can sue for punitive damages to make a point in court that someone's behavior was particularly what they call egregious. But for emotional distress, how does one quantify exactly how much an individual has emotionally suffered? And how does that defendant anticipate that they're going to be on the hook for that much money? In this case, this individual sued for $5 million.
Oh.
That was simply because she had been given alternative accommodation.
Oh, my gosh.
Reading and someone to write down statements and braille. None of those were good enough for her. So she sued for $5 million.
Shouldn't her attorney have known this?
You know, it's interesting. I was asked in another interview whether or not the attorney who brought the case may have really been out of his range in bringing this particular case.
I mean, let's go to the law books. Miss Clerk, please bring me a book. I've got to look into this. Oh, no.
That's exactly it. That is what I would call an opportunistic plaintiff or an opportunistic litigant.
Yeah, maybe the judge won't catch on and we can get $5 million. Let's try for five and settle for one. Psst, don't tell anybody.
Specific cases in which an individual who brings what's known as a frivolous lawsuit can actually be suffering penalties from the court. But in this case, I think the court took it up because they wanted to make clear, listen, we're not going to read stuff into a statute that's not there. That's an important principle of legal interpretation.
All right. While I've got you, how do you define emotional distress? I got to tell you, I went to Costco the other day, took $125 to fill up my Ford F-150. You talk about emotional distress. Who can I sue?
Well, I got to tell you, I have a little Civic hatchback. Usually it takes me $30. it's now costing me $60 to fill it up as well. I got to tell you, don't think that this particular administration cares much about the emotional distress of the everyday American who's suffering at the pump and in their wallet.
Sarah, I got to tell you, I mean, you and I both, emotional distress at the pump. I think we might have a class action here.
We do. We get enough people together. I think we do all right.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Interesting case. I appreciate you.